Hello and welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel podcast. If you are new here, welcome. If you're a return guest, thank you for coming back. If you haven't already, hit the like, subscribe, notification, follow any of these, whichever buttons they are on whichever platform you are watching. Please do that. Please. It massages my ego. It makes me feel significant, which I know it shouldn't, but it does. And it helps the algorithm, it helps other people find the show, and it helps other people learn what it is that they need and want to learn about healing and all things health related. Today I want to talk to you about posture and how posture is important in helping your body heal. On what date was it? Doesn't matter what date it was. Sometime in April I was at the Heal Scotland Festival. It was Scotland's Wild Medicine Festival. It's on annually. I think this year they had two events. They had one in Tarbert and one in Skye. I taught at the one in Tarbert and I was teaching posture reset Pilates. And while I was teaching it, I'm thinking, this is so important for our health and well-being. Why is that? Because our posture, how we hold our body, has so much influence on our mood, on our energy, on our lymphatic flow, on our breath, on our joints and muscles, on our nervous system stimulation activation. And so many people, you see so many people walking about, if you're watching this on video, slumped, head forward, shoulders rounded, belly crushed, just dropped down into their body. They are sitting in, even when they're standing, they're standing down into their body. They're not standing up into their body. And our wonderful body has been designed, created to have this alignment where it creates this space for everything to work in the way that it's meant to work. If you are a laptop user or a mobile phone abuser like myself, your head might be hung forward all the time. Now, when your head is hung or even hung forward, so your chin is dropped forward, you're putting a lot of strain in the vertebrae of your neck, you're overstretching the muscles at the back of the neck, you're shortening all the muscles in the front of your neck, which is making them weak, which is contributing to our double chin, which is contributing to joint pain, neck pain, headache. The vagus nerve, which is the wandering nerve that is very influential in nervous system, upregulation, downregulation, digestion, heart function, lung function. It's the wandering nerve that comes from, it's the 10th cranial nerve, so it starts at the base of your skull, comes down the neck, it loops around through the collarbones, comes down. Part of it breaks off, wanders into the heart. Part of it breaks off, wanders down into the lungs. It comes down. It comes through the diaphragm. And then it connects into the gut. So it connects so many organs. And it upregulates and downregulates the nervous system. It switches on, switches off inflammation. So if your head is hanging forward and this is always really stretched and really tense, body's going to think there's some problem. If you listen to the last podcast where I was talking about fight or flight or being in rest or digest, if you're in that hung position and the vagus nerve's in alert, it's all ramped up, switched on, then inflammation's going to be driven just from the angle of your head. So by just drawing the chin in, getting that length in the back of the neck, and to start with, this can feel really uncomfortable. I have to keep reminding myself because my default is head dropped forward. So drawing the chin in, making that length through the back of the neck, really important. Notice when you're driving, what angle is your head sitting at when you're driving? Also, when you're on your phone, when you're on your laptop, notice this head's drooped forward. Really important for that vagus nerve. The other thing that we have when our posture is drooped is our shoulders round forwards, which then shortens all the muscles at the front of the shoulders and overstretches the muscles at the back. And people will come for massage. Oh, I'm really tight in my back. I'm really tight. I need a back massage. I need a back massage. Great to massage the back, but if this at the front doesn't get opened up, doesn't get massaged, doesn't get released, then the muscles at the back are just going to stay long, stay strained, and then they're going to be weak as well. So we need to be able to open the chest. When the shoulders are rounded forward, we're restricting the ability for the rib cage to be able to expand and contract when we're taking breaths. So that then shortens the breath, that then drives up feelings of anxiety, because our breath regulates the nervous system to switch on, switch off. They're all connected into each other. So if you've not got space to breathe and your breathing is short and shallow, then the nervous system is then stimulated into that fight and flight, which then can trigger these thoughts, feelings, sensations of anxiety. So by being able to open up, that can help free things. Then when we move down into the abdominal area, again, if we're slumped down, we're squishing the organs together. We're not creating space. The organs need space to expand and to contract. Your lungs need to be able to expand and contract into the rib cage. Your liver, your spleen need to be able to expand and contract to do their magic. Your spleen making the blood cells, your liver filtering out, detoxifying all the shit that needs to get cleared out. And then the stomach, it needs to be able to expand and contract to mash up the food that you haven't chewed properly, because if you're anything like me, chew, chew, swallow. Gillian McKeith was right when she used to tell you have to chew it 100 times. Stimulate all the digestive enzymes in your body, break down that food so that the stomach has got a little bit less work to do, but it's still pulps up so that it can get passed down into the small intestine, so the small intestine can do some work absorbing all the vitamins, minerals, nutrients, proteins, fats, carbs into the body, so that the body can be a strong, healthy body. And then the excess comes down, it goes into the large intestine, where the microbes, the gut microbiome, go to town. They create all their gases and chemicals and hormone responses and reactions and all the stuff that they do, as well as creating the shit that comes out the other end. That needs space to work and thrive so that we can remove the toxins from our body, and if we're all crushed in, none of those digestive processes are happening properly, which means that larger particles are getting into parts of our body that they're not meant to, which cause damage. Microscopic size damage, but damage nevertheless, which then can cause that leaky gut that we've spoken about in previous podcasts, which then cause autoimmunity, cause allergies, cause PMS, PMT, all these other health issues that we have, constipation and or diarrhea, and you might have both. And then you've got your reproductive organs, and if they're getting squished down because you're dropped down into your body, they don't have the space to be able to work their magic and do what it is that they need to do, depending on what gender you are. So there's lots and lots and lots going on there just by how you hold yourself. And if you're slumped down, and you may or may not have done this before, but if you sit slumped and think happy thoughts, now, there are people, science people will say this isn't scientific, but because they can't measure it, but you can measure it in your own body. But sit here and think happy thoughts and notice how you feel. Do you feel happy with those happy thoughts when you're in a slumped position? And then I want you to lift yourself up, lift the chest, open the chest, sit tall, even raise your arms up. So we're taking this to the extreme. And think sad and angry thoughts. And how sad and angry can you feel when you're up here? Now, for most people, when they're down here, they can think happy thoughts, but don't necessarily feel it. When you're up here, you can think the angry thoughts, but you can't necessarily feel the anger the same. Like if you were down here and you're depressed, and you get into that real negative sensation. And when you're up here, you can feel happy and joyful, and the energy of the body lifts. So you might not be able to measure that scientifically, but you can feel it in your own body. And if you tried that and you thought, Jen, you're full of shit, then that's your experience. And that's not wrong, that's your experience. But I would still say all the other stuff that I talked about before, that still matters. So when I am teaching this in class, is I like to tell people to lift up, tall through the crown of the head, chin drawn in, shoulders relaxed back and down. chest open, and if we think when we're walking, moving around, can we lead from our heart? Can we lead from the heart instead of the head? And I think I spoke about this in a podcast previously. A couple of months ago, I was in the shopping centre going to the post office, and one minute I was walking through the shopping centre, the next minute I was skidding through the shopping centre on my knees because I hadn't seen all the wet floor signs across the floor. And it's a hill on kind of marbly floor, so it's not really the safest kind of flooring on a hill inside when it's been raining outside. And I skidded down, and the wee man who was trying to clean up came running up to me. He was nearly having a heart attack because I had skidded across the floor, and I knew exactly what had happened. I was in my head already in the post office. I was leading with my head. I wasn't looking where I was going. I wasn't leading with my heart. If I had been standing more upright, one, I would have seen the signs because I would have been paying more attention to where I went. My nervous system would have assessed the situation better because everything was open. And I would have been able to control because my core muscles, all my sensory nerve endings would have been alert to the situation and would have been able to prevent me from or reduce the thump when I went down. Now, I didn't go down that hard. I did still have two bruised knees. I did kind of glide down and slide. I'd like to see the CCTV footage just to see if it was as elegant and graceful as it was in my head. Probably wasn't. But if I had been up, walking, leading with my heart, that would have changed that whole situation. I would have had less risk of falling. And as we are getting older, I'm now 45, and my clients are in their 50s and 60s and 70s, they are thinking about not wanting to fall over 65. If you fall and break your hip, you have got a 33% chance of dying from that break. You have got a 33% chance of being in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. You've also got a 33% chance of surviving and thriving and getting over it. What you do in the lead up to that break, what you do post-recovery from that break will have an influence. So if you can think now, let's not break our hip, let's stay upright as much as possible. Can we lead from the heart? And that's a nice thing to do metaphorically as well. When we are moving forward in life, can we lead from our heart? If we lead from our heart instead from our heads, you think about the shit that's going on in the world, this is all head-driven bullshit. This is not heart-centered. This is not heart-led. If we lead from our heart in our physical movement, in our emotional movement, in our metaphorical actions that we take in the world, everything will be better. You won't have to think about, oh, am I standing tall? Because you're already, as soon as you think lead from my heart, you bring yourself upright and you start to move forward. Now your stride might shorten, and this is something that I teach in the foot mobility and strength workshop, is having a shorter stride gets you to your destination faster. Doesn't make sense when you first think about it, because you think a long stride is covering more ground, but actually is slower to get from here to plant the foot, to lift the foot, to drive it through. Whereas if you're short and fast, that cadence turns over much faster. You're putting less strain in your joints. Your body will stay in a more upright position. You'll be able to lead from your heart. You get from A to B faster in a healthier body. And I think that's a win-win. If you would like to know more about the posture work that I teach or about that foot and ankle mobility, check out my website, iamjenwilson.com/move. You can access those modules as individual modules, and you just do like a one-time payment to buy them, or you can subscribe to my Pilates and Yoga at Home. Those modules are all in there for you as part of that membership, along with 200 plus other classes to choose from. I want people to feel better in their bodies. I want people's bodies to move better, to be at ease, to heal, to feel as well as you can, no matter what your health condition is. If What I have talked about today has been useful and you would like to share it, please do share it. If you can give it a wee like, whatever it is that you're listening to, remember the wee follow, the wee subscription, massage my ego for me, tell the algorithm that this is useful information, that other people will benefit from hearing this. Always, always, always very, very grateful. And any questions, do reach out to me and I will see you on the next podcast. Thank you so much.